Turn your Bibles with me to the book of 1 Corinthians. Book of 1 Corinthians. The last 2 weeks we've been in a series called The Week of the Cross. The first sermon we answered a mysterious question from Matthew chapter 26 where Jesus asked God three times to let a cup pass from Him in prayer. Knowing that Jesus knew all the events that were going to take place, Jesus was still asking, Lord, let this cup pass from me. It grieved Him so. We found out that what was in the cup was our sin. Jesus had experienced the agony, had never experienced the agony of sin or the magnitude of sin that would be placed on Him that day on Calvary. Last week we walked with Judas and we learned that he did not wake up one morning and decide to betray the Son of God. We learned that because of his decisions early in life to love money and possessions, he chose money over eternal life. This week, as we continue learning about the week of the cross, we're going to consider what Jesus meant during the Lord's Supper when he told his apostles, when you do this in remembrance of me. What is it that Jesus wants us to remember this morning? Now, as I've told my Wednesday night class on many times, if we could hold our Bible up and we could open the Old Testament, the Old Testament would say, return to me. Return to me. If we could open the New Testament and we could hold our ear up to the New Testament, the New Testament would scream out, follow me. Follow me. If we could just close the Bible and put the Bible up to our ear, the Bible screams out, remember. 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 This morning, Jesus is telling us to remember. So let's look in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. Scripture says, for I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. On the night when he, being Jesus, was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup after the supper and said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this, and as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you this morning. Our hearts are full, God, because every year we come and we celebrate this season knowing, God, that you're alive. Lord, we're remembering once again the price that you paid. And God, I pray that you would be with us this morning, right now in this short period of time that we have with this message. Lord, I pray that you would wake us and shake us. Lord, you'd still our hearts. There wouldn't be any moving around. God, that we would hear a word from you. God, you've placed me here to preach a message, but Lord, it's not me, it's you. These aren't my words. They're words that you've put on my heart that this congregation so needs to hear. Lord, none of us are here by accident. You knew in eternity past, God, that each and every one of us would be sitting here this morning, needing to hear from you, needing to feel you this morning, God. So, Lord, I pray that your spirit would move during this message. In Christ Jesus' name I do pray. And all God's children said, amen. All throughout this message, I'm going to be asking, what is it that Jesus wants us to remember? What is it that he wants us to remember? Church, I want you to understand this before I go into what he wants us to remember. I want you to understand that Jesus and God, they have taken painstaking steps that we not forget things. Painstaking steps. The thing that I want you to see first is this. This Bible was written and given to us that we not forget. God doesn't want us to forget. This Bible was a record of God himself. Is that not amazing to you? I mean, this Bible is so old. It's a written record of God himself. the essence of God, the love of God, the purity of God, the righteousness of God are all recorded in this Bible that we might know Him intimately. And with that said, I say this over and over again, but you can't hear it enough. These are 66 love letters from God Almighty, the throne of God, to you personally. You can open your Bible and read these as love letters. Y'all remember, guys, when you used to go out to your cars and there'd be a note stuck underneath the windshield wiper? Y'all remember? And you'd open that letter up, and as soon as you opened it, Bill, you remember? What did you, I mean, before you even looked, you smelt that fragrance. I mean, she put that perfume on there, and you knew that's my darling. Y'all remember that? You smelled that perfume. Teresa's back there shaking her head. Teresa, you never did that? Okay. But you smelt that fragrance. You knew it was fragrance. And then you read it, my dear honey darling. And it was mushy. And you wouldn't share that with anybody. You didn't. You put that dude in your pocket, and you took it home, and you hid it somewhere so your mom and dad, y'all remember that? Your mom, you ate it. That's none of your business. What's that? Listen, these are 66 love letters, Bob, from God to us. And that's how we ought to read them. He took great painstaking steps that we might not forget. This is an instruction book as well. This is an instruction book that if we will just read and follow, we can't lose. We cannot lose. If you ask my wife and my children, we play games at the house and we pull for certain teams. Thank you. I'm not a good loser. I'm not. This year, when Georgia beat South Carolina, and I had to come the next day and preach, what are you smiling about, Larry? Look at her back there. It was hard for your preacher to come, and you know, I purposely the year before didn't rub it in, or didn't, you know, because I know, hey, listen, if you look at the record, Georgia's, you know, they beat us a lot more than we beat them. But I'm not a good loser. Listen, do you realize if you will follow this instruction book that God, listen, God painstakingly, people have tried to wipe this book off the map for years. And Jesus said, no, it's not going anywhere. If we will just follow the instruction books and not live like we want to live, we'll never lose. We can't lose. Even when we're losing, we don't lose. The final chapter's been written. We win. If you are a blood-bought child of the King, if you are under the blood, you cannot lose. Some of you used to be gamblers, and I told y'all before Jesus saved me, I used to gamble. I was 14 and I had a bookie. I learned a great lesson when the Miami Dolphins played the San Francisco 49ers in the Super Bowl. Y'all remember that Super Bowl? Miami was supposed to wipe them out. They were. I mean, I was 14. I'd saved some money. I called my bookie, and I had $100. I said, put it on the Miami Dolphins. I think it was a 6-point spread. You know why? Because there's no way they could lose. Joe Montana came in there, Brother Gary, and he blew them out. They lost. Brother Kyle lost $120 that day. That was a lot of money for me. Still is. 14 years old, $120. Gone. Listen to me, I was taking a gamble. Do you realize if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior this morning, you are taking a gamble that you cannot pay. You cannot pay. You cannot wait until the last day and say, well, you know, Jesus, I believe in you now. I can see you. No, it's too late. You have to accept Him now while Scripture says there is time. Scripture says today is today, not tomorrow. Today is the day of your salvation. Don't waste it. Don't squander it. Don't roll the dice. Don't gamble that you're going to have tomorrow. While I preach this message, over 650 Americans are going to die. Over 650 Americans are going to die. And I can bet you, even if they were in terrible condition last night, they would have told you, I know I'm going to die, but not today. Not today. But today is their day of death. Listen, God has taken great steps that we might know who He is. This Bible is the number one greatest seller of all times, yet it's the least understood book that's ever been written. Do you know why we don't understand it? We don't read it. It looks so good on the coffee table, doesn't it? You know that big old family Bible, we have one up here. It looks so good. And there's always one religious person in our family. When we get married, they'll go and they'll buy one of those big Bibles. If it hits you or drops on your foot, you're in trouble. I mean, it can kill you, this thing. But they'll give it to you and they'll put your day of your wedding on, and you promptly display it somewhere in your house for prominence. And it's beautiful. But listen, it's more than an ornament. It's great that it's a great number one seller. It's the all-time on the all-time sellers list. They got tired of it being on the all-time sellers list, so they just took it off. Church, you have to read it. God has taken great steps that we not forget. It is a book that almost 100% of all Americans have in their house, in their homes, and it's the one that's most likely read the least. Isn't that sad? It's very sad. Even the Book of Wisdom. This is how easy Keith God has made it for us. How many days are there in a month normally? 30? 31? It's so hard for me. My life is so busy. I can't read the Bible the way I need to. Sure you can. Just read one proverb every day. And look, Bryson, I'm gonna help you with it. What's today's date? Y'all are confused. The 20th. So today you should read Proverbs 20. Tomorrow when you get up in the morning, and this is the Book of Wisdom. God's giving you, it's all wisdom, but I mean, Book of Proverbs, I mean, it'll strengthen you. Tomorrow is April 21st. Now when you wake up in the morning, you know what I would read? Proverbs. And then if you want to read something else, fine, but read it. But God made it so simple. He made it so easy that we could follow Him. Who makes it hard? We do. We make it so, oh, God's Word, so... No, it's not. It's not. It really isn't. Church, does it blow your mind that Jesus is telling us this morning not to forget? He has given us the means through the written Word of God to never forget. But we who call ourselves followers of Christ do not read it for instruction nearly enough. Church, if only we will read these words, we'll never forget. Never forget. My wife posted something earlier this morning on Facebook, and it really stuck with me. For a Christian, Easter should be celebrated every day. Every day. I mean, we go to elaborate lengths on Easter Sunday. We need to do this, and we need to do this, and we need to sing two or three... Listen, Easter ought to be every Sunday, every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, every day, because we serve a risen Savior. Church, what is it that Jesus wants us to remember? What is it that Jesus wants us never to forget? What is it that He said in 1 Corinthians? He says, do this in remembrance of me. Brother Ricky, what did He want us to remember? I believe there's a long list. And I know I'm not going to touch them all, but I'm going to hit the big ones. I believe that Jesus does not want us to forget who He is. Who He is. And that He is the one and only Messiah. Brother Kyle, that's crazy. Why? Sure, I'm not going to forget. God is not going to send us another Messiah to this earth. Y'all do understand that, right? He's not going to send another Messiah to the earth. There is no plan B. There is no backup plan. What you see when you see Jesus is the finished work of God to redeem fallen man to Himself. There is no better plan. There is no better plan. Church, there's people who say, if only God would just do this. And if only God would do this. And if He would only do this, I would believe. I would believe if only God would do this. Don't you remember the Pharisees? The Pharisees looked at Him and said, tell us plainly, if you're the Messiah, tell us. And He says, you've said it, I am. And then they begged. They said, give us a sign. Give us a sign. After Jesus had given them sign after sign after sign after sign, there's somebody in this congregation, there's somebody who's listening over the internet right now. I can guarantee you they would say, if I could just see Jesus raise somebody from the dead the way he did in Scripture, I would believe. And my answer to you would be this: no, you wouldn't. No, you wouldn't. How can you say that, Brother Kyle? Because there were people in that day that saw Jesus raise Lazarus from the dead. And my Wednesday class, y'all know this because I've told you so many times. You know what was so significant about Jesus raising Lazarus after the fourth day? Because according to Jewish tradition, the Jews believed that the body, the soul, the spirit loomed over the body for 4 days. Jesus could have gone the day he heard that Lazarus was sick. He could have gone the first day when he heard that he was dead. The second, the third day. He could have waited until the fourth day and gone, but it wouldn't have meant as much. He waited until he had been in the grave for 4 days. They told him, hey, listen, don't roll that stone away. He stinks. He stinks. Don't touch that rock. We don't want to smell him. Jesus said, roll the stone away. And he raised him from the dead. Do you realize what they tried to do to Lazarus and Jesus because Jesus raised him from the dead? They said, kill them both. Kill them both. If Jesus would just do one thing, if he would just do a miracle, y'all look here. If he would just do a miracle, I would believe. No, you wouldn't. Listen, today is the day of salvation. Jesus doesn't need to do anything else that you might be saved. Only thing that you need to do is accept him for who he is and what he's already done. He's done enough. The price he paid was too high. He wants you to remember who he is. There's no plan B. There's no plan B. Jesus also wants you to do this. Jesus does not want you to forget what he did. He wants you to remember who he is, but he wants you to remember what he did. Do you realize that Jesus came to this earth in flesh? Do you realize that God loved you so much that he left the throne room of heaven? Listen, I don't know what it's like. Scripture says, no eye hath seen, no ear hath heard, neither has it entered the heart of man. The things that God has prepared for those who love him. I don't know what it's going to be like. I have little glimpses and pictures of what heaven's going to be like, but I don't really have a clue. Jesus knew everything there was to know about heaven. He experienced the fullness of heaven. He created heaven, and he loved us enough that he left heaven and came in the form of a man and walked this earth. That's powerful. That's unbelievable. That's a love beyond any magnitude that we can gauge it by. That's a tremendous love. That love should propel us to do anything and everything. It should, to please God. Jesus wants us to remember a few other things. Jesus also wants us to not forget the price that he paid in full for us. The price was paid in full. Ricky, in full. Not half. Not three quarters. The price he paid was full, in full for us. What that means is this: the pain of sin that we deserved, Christ paid in full. Now, I don't know about y'all. We had our pictorial, our church directory pictures not too long ago. And when we were back here, great pictures. I've seen so many of them on Facebook, beautiful pictures. But when they told me how much it was, I was like, oh, really? Okay, okay. They said, you can do one of two things. I said, okay. She said, you can pay the total amount today. And I was thinking, oh, dear Jesus. Or you can pay half of it now, and then they'll take half of it out later. I said, okay, let's do plan B. I like plan B. So I got plan B, and as many of y'all, the same experience happened. I got a knock on my door about a week and a half, 2 weeks later. And it was the UPS man. And he had my pictures. Not my pictures. They were Amy's pictures. Yeah. And as I looked there, I was getting ready to sign, Steve. I was ready to sign. And he looked at me. He says, no, 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 no. He says, you have to pay cash on delivery. COD. I didn't even know they did that anymore. I really didn't. I thought that was illegal. I did. But should be. But I said, okay, let me go get a check. You see, it was not paid in full. When we stand before Jesus, the price has been paid in full. When we die, when we take our last breath, when we stand before Jesus, there's nothing else we have to do. All we have to do is accept Him today. And the price is paid in full. Brother Kyle, that's too easy. I know it. Listen, there are other denominations that will tell you, well, you have to do this, and you have to do this, and you have to do this, and you have to light 42 candles, and you have to say 27 Hail Marys, and you have to make some strange noises with your tongue. No, Jesus said you don't have to do that. He said all you have to do is believe in me. Romans 10:9 says, if you will confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that Christ was raised from the dead by God, He said, you shall be saved. We don't have to do anything else. I know it sounds simple. That's how much God loves us. He made it so simple. I like that. The price is paid in full. He says, don't forget that. I believe Jesus does not want us to forget, church, that He arose from the grave. I don't know about you, but I praise God. I serve a risen Savior. My God's not dead. Do you know there's religions all over this world that are worshiping, praying to a dead God? Not me. They're in a trance-like state trying to communicate with their God, and all I have to do is say, Lord Jesus, and I am in the presence of the King. I serve a risen Savior, and He wants you to realize and not ever forget that He's alive, church. Not only that, Jesus does not want you to forget that He's alive today and living in us and through us through the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Church, listen, He wants you to remember that you're not alone. You're not alone. You're never alone. If you accept Christ as your personal Savior, if you prayed to receive Him, you're never, ever alone. Now, some of you ought to be saying, oh, praise God, thank you for that. Others ought to be saying, oh, me. Because you are not alone, everywhere you go, the Holy Spirit of God goes with you. And that's a good thing a lot of times, but there's a lot of places you're going that the Holy Spirit has no business going. And you take Him with you. Jesus wants you to know you're not alone. You're not alone. The Holy Spirit of God, my essence, my spirit is with you always. Church, Jesus also wants you to remember His suffering. He wants you to remember His suffering. He loved us enough to take our pain. I could go on and on with just that one point alone. Do you understand the suffering that Jesus took for you? I read last week when we were talking about Judas. In the book of Isaiah, it says that Jesus was not even recognizable. He was beaten from head to toe. For us to understand that He was unrecognizable, Mark, we need to understand that His face took an unbelievable beating. It was personal. He took that pain and that suffering for each one of us that we might not have to experience the pain. That's unbelievable love. I can't explain it. Church, I've got to move on. Jesus also wants us to remember that you don't belong, that we don't belong to ourselves. We belong to Him. Did you hear me? He wants us to remember that we don't belong to ourselves. We belong to Him. This life is not about us. It's all about Him. And He wants us, what He wants to do in us, through us, with us, and for us. Church, our lives are a walking, talking, it should be a walking, talking billboard for the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're not our own. We belong to Him. Too often we stamp ourselves with Christianity and we live the way we want to. Church, when you become a Christian, you need to live like a Christian. And He wants us to remember that you belong to me. Church, Jesus wants us to remember also that we're heirs to the kingdom of God. Now that right there should have wakened you up. I'm not an heir to the throne of America. I'm not the heir to the throne of Georgia. I'm not the heir to the throne of King. I am an heir to the kingdom of God. And if you are a child of God, Jesus wants you to remember, you are an heir to the kingdom of God. We are all princes and princesses of the King, and we need to all act like that we're royalty, not the slum of the earth. Do you hear me? If you belong to Jesus, Brother White, you're royalty. Now, we don't need to walk around with crowns. We don't need, you know, there's enough people who do that. But I tell you this, when we step foot on home ground, there's a robe and a crown and a ring of righteousness waiting for us, and we did nothing to deserve it. God has it prepared and waiting right there for us. A crown. Yeah, I mean, I don't know about y'all, but I'm looking forward to something covering my bald head. Some of y'all have hair. I've got a crown waiting on me. And it's nothing I've deserved. It's because I'm an heir. I am a prince. I don't look like a prince. I know I'm good looking, but I'm not that good looking. I am a prince. And so are you. Royalty. Royalty. Jesus also wants us to remember that because of who he is and because of who we are, people are going to treat us the same way they treated him. Y'all with me, church? Church, we should expect no better of ourselves than Jesus was treated. We have this in our mind, this old God who just looms over us. I want you to remember something. Jesus was 33 years old when he died for us. 33 years old. We get mad and we get upset and we shake our fist at God. If somebody in our family dies and they're 70 years old or 80 years old, and we say, why, God, why? Why did they have to die? Why did they have to suffer? Listen to me, church. Jesus was 33 years old when he suffered the most brutal agony. Nobody in this earth is ever going to suffer a more brutal and agonizing, humiliating, degrading death than Jesus did. At 33 years old, Jesus wants us to remember. Church, listen, just about done. Jesus wants us to remember. Jesus wants us to remember because we're so prone to forget. We are so prone to forget what he's done, the price he paid, the love that he has, and the love that he continues to show to us. We're so prone to forget. Church, we know better. We ought to do better. And if only we would remember who Jesus is, I believe we would. Today we celebrate the resurrection of our risen Lord and Savior. Church, we serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. And what he wants us to do right now is to remember him. Remember him. I want to ask right here in a second, I want to ask everyone who wants to come down to this altar and spend some time with the Lord, I want to ask you to do so. If you have some unresolved business to take care of with the Lord before we partake of the Lord's Supper, I want you to come down and just kneel before the altar and spend some time with the Lord. If you're here this morning, you're not here by accident. If you're here this morning and you do not know Jesus as your personal Savior, I'm going to be standing at the front of the vestibule table, the remembrance table. I want to ask you, listen, today, let today be the day of your salvation. Don't wait anymore. I'll show you what the Word of God says, not what the Southern Baptist or what religion says you must do. I'll tell you what Jesus said you must do to have eternal life, that you might know that you and your family and your children and your children's children will have an eternity in heaven. The invitation's there. I'm going to ask you in a minute if you'll come. Let's all stand, heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, we love you. We don't understand why you love us the way you do and what you've done for us. And God, how you've taken unbelievable steps that we might remember who you are, God. Thank you for the sacrifice. Thank you for the love. Thank you, Lord, that you've risen and you're waiting for us to come home. God, I pray that your Spirit would move right now. Help us, Lord, to fall on our knees before you right now before we partake of this Lord's Supper in remembrance of you. In Christ's name, with all heads bowed and all eyes closed, do you need to come? Do you need to come down and just spend some time with the Lord?